Sometimes God works powerfully through mothers. This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Friday, TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. You know, every Friday can be a good Friday if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Have you done that yet? Are you asking me, well, how do I know if I've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Well, it involves two things. It involves a commitment from your lips and then a commitment with your lives. So you say, Jesus, come into my life right now as my personal Lord and Savior. And then you live like it. You live that truth out every day of your life. Yeah, it'll take a while to really make it so much a part of your life that it is obvious to everybody you meet. Why is it so hard to do that? Because growth and holiness is two steps forward, one step backwards. Nonetheless, there is a power here. What do I say every Friday? Claim the power of Good Friday, God's Friday. If you do that, it will make a difference in your life. If you accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you will not give in too readily to temptations. You won't give in too readily to discouragement, because we know that Good Friday is followed by Easter Sunday. You put those two feasts together, Good Friday and Easter Sunday. And by the way, they should never be separated, because you can't have Easter Sunday without Good Friday. And if you only have Good Friday, Jesus died and didn't rise from the dead. Well, what did Paul say? We're the most pitiable of people. So as you fuse Good Friday and Easter Sunday together, you know what? We won. We won. The final victory has already been achieved. We don't know when it's happening, so we celebrate the little victories. And that's what I like to do on Fridays. I like to celebrate the little victories of grace and miracles, conversions. And I got a powerful conversion story to share with you today. You probably know about it, but I'm going to renew your knowledge, renew your memory. And as I said at the beginning of the program, sometimes God works powerfully through mothers. And before I share this story, allow me a personal comment. The hospital I have for the poor in Oaxaca, Mexico, is in English, the Anna Seetaler Hospital. Named after my mother, she was an inspiration to me. I took care of her in the final years of her life. I lived with her for 11 months around the clock, taking care of her. Then when I couldn't lift her anymore, put her in the nursing home. Another 11 months, almost every day, I visited to spend the afternoons with her. I'd only preach in the morning and the evenings, travel sometimes an hour to get to the nursing home to spend the afternoon with her. So mothers are very important in our lives, aren't they? And sometimes God works powerfully through mothers. And here's one of those mothers through whom God worked powerfully. Saint Augustine did not start out that way, a saint. His mother, Monica, taught him about Christianity carefully, and she prayed. But his incredible mind had always troubled her. One day in his teenage years, he announced that he was throwing aside her faith in Christ to follow current heresies. He went on to live a life of immorality. And Augustine never did anything by halves. He was the best and the first in school, and he became the best and first in the vulgar festivities of youth. I could not distinguish between the clear shining of affection and the darkness of lust, Augustine wrote. I could not keep within the kingdom of light where friendship binds soul to soul. And so I polluted the brook of friendship with the sewage of lust. Wow. What a confession. I was grown deaf by the clanking of the chain of my mortality, the punishment of the pride of my soul, and I strayed further from you being God there, and you left me alone and I was tossed about and wasted and dissipated, and I boiled over in my fornications, and you held your peace, O thou my tardy joy. Each of Augustine's sins became very evident to him. And each of us, well, we sin in our own way. Some of us allow ourselves to be deceived because our sin is sociably acceptable. We reason that it really isn't that bad after all. Some of us suffer consequences because our sin is not acceptable in society. We may end up in jail or ignored by the people who used to call us friends. But Augustine's story is still our own. The loss of faith always occurs when the senses first awaken. That's an important thing to realize if you're mentoring a teenager. At this critical moment, when nature claims us for her service, the consciousness of spiritual things is, in most cases, either eclipsed or totally destroyed. It is not reason which turns the young man from God. It is the flesh. Skepticism but provides him with the excuses for the new life he is leading. What a profound insight. But still, Monica prayed. She prayed to her son's sin, and she prayed through her son's heresy. She prayed her son through his fight with God, and Augustine knew it. Quote from Augustine. Almost 9 years passed in which I wallowed in the mire of that deep pit and the darkness of falsehood, all which time that chaste, godly, and sober widow, his mother, ceased not at all hours of her devotions to bewail my case unto you, God. And her prayers entered into your presence, and yet you allowed me to be yet involved and re-involved in that darkness. You see how respectful God is of free will? Absolutely. Those years were not easy for Monica, as any mother of a child lost in darkness knows. Those years hurt her deeply. Finally, she went to the bishop, a devout man who knew the scriptures inside and out, and asked him to talk to Augustine to refute his errors. The bishop refused. Augustine had quite a reputation as an orator and debater by then. Instead, he wisely comforted Monica by saying that a mind so sharp would eventually see through the deception. He offered himself as an example, because he had once been a Manichaean, which was one of the heresies at the time of Augustine. Monica would not be consoled by those words. She continued to beg the bishop and plead with him through rivers of tears. Finally, wearied by her tenacity, but at the same time moved by the ache in her soul for her son, the bishop said, Go, leave me alone. Live on as you are living. It is not possible that the son of such tears should be lost. Harshness, those words were what? Harshness interwoven with kindness and compassion. The son of such tears continued to run from his mother and from his God. He ran for many more years. Then one day Augustine listened to St. Ambrose, Bishop of Milan, and the most eminent churchman of the day. Exhausted by the years of running, convicted and broken, he turned to embrace Jesus. St. Augustine changed the course of history, according to Christian historians and scholars. His works have been more widely read than almost any other authors throughout the centuries. He can also speak to the present generation as one heart speaks to another. St. Augustine more than fulfilled his godly mother's prayers and hopes. Some credit him as God's tool that kept the light of the New Testament shining when the Roman Empire fell apart. Not too long after her prodigal Augustine came home for good, she told him that she had nothing left to live for. Her lifelong quest had been to see him come back to Jesus. 9 days after saying that, she was dead. The father of the prodigal son in the book of Luke was so focused on seeing his son return that he spotted him while he was still a great way off. Monica did the same. She followed him where he ran. She challenged his rebellious ways when he came home. She never stopped praying for her son with such tears. Augustine learned from her what so many prodigals have learned about our Heavenly Father. The only way a man can lose you is to leave you, and if he leaves you, where does he go? He can only run from your pleasure to your wrath. That's Augustine talking there about of his relationship with God. It is the deepest desire of our God to move people from being the focus of his wrath to the delight of his heart. It is unspeakably hard to watch a son or daughter find his or her own way, but that is what each of us must do. Jesus would have it no other way. Hope for them, pray for them, and never stop crying for them. And then look up the road expectantly. Your son of such tears just might be standing out clearly on the dusty horizon. Now, this reflection that I shared with you was written by the wife of Billy Graham, Ruth Bell Graham. Okay, so now we're at that point where I'm going to share with you once again some food for thought. And today's food for thought comes from the Greek philosopher Aristotle. He wrote, "Youth feels pity out of human kindness. Old age feels pity out of its infirmity." Boy, I can say yes to that. Who do I want you to pray for today? Emergency room workers. Please pray for them. They're dealing often with life and death situation. They have to think on their feet. They have to be able to analyze the situation, diagnose the situation quickly. People who come to the emergency room often do not have any patience. They come with great fear and anxiety. We pray, dear God, bless emergency room workers. Bless them with the capacity to really be able to help those who come to them. Give them the insight, the knowledge, the patience, the wisdom, and strength to be able to do their job well. And I ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, you know, often if you read your church's bulletin, there's a typographical error. And sometimes that typo can make you laugh really hard. Well, I have one of those in this segment, today's segment of humor, in my small attempt to make you smile or laugh. And here was what the church bulletin said. "We need volunteers for summer camp. There will be sinning and dancing." And you know what the blooper, you know what the word was supposed to be. "There will be sinning and dancing." I bet they got a lot of volunteers. Want to contact me? Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Just drop me a note, let me know you listened to the program, and let me know if it's helpful. Send me your prayer intentions. I'll storm heaven with you and for you. Can you write a check? I don't care how much it's for. Just support my hospital, please. Help me to keep it open for the poor and sick in Oaxaca, Mexico. Make the check to TASH, T-A-S-H. Send it to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. If you use the Internet, visit my website at fatherscott.com. Spell out Father. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy.
Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore.